Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send wretched stuff. Yep, we still use the email machine, idea@wretched.org. You want to be all technologically fancy? I don't even know if that was good grammar. You can text away 877-282-2337.
You know, Todd.
Oh boy, is this going to be a dad joke?
No, it's not. It was actually going to be me being honest and genuine with you.
So let me just make sure I've got this straight before you launch into this passive-aggressive attack without the passive part. So you don't normally speak forthrightly and honestly? So this is an exception to your conniving rule?
I admit I don't say thank you enough to you. And I want to tell you thank you.
For taking lion's mane?
No. I came home the other day and there was a beautiful bouquet of flowers.
Oh, yeah, right.
And to Todd, or to Jimmy from Todd.
It wasn't just from...
I was so touched.
Your pants are on fire. That was for Mrs. Hicks.
Yes.
How is she doing?
She's doing great.
Okay.
I think. It's touchy, just minute by minute.
Dude, how many years have you been married?
20. A little over 20.
Keep answering questions like that. You might not hit 21. That was a little bit shady. Please text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I was wondering if there is any scripture that speaks of sorrow in heaven, missing the loved ones who are not saved.
Yes, you're not going to have it. No more tears. No more sorrow. You won't have those feelings. Anything, gone. Now, does that mean you won't remember them? The answer is no. You will fully have the mind of Christ. Not that you will be exalted to divine status, but you're going to get it. You're going to get justice. You're going to understand the rightness of hell. You will agree with God's verdict that He renders on everybody who has refused to repent, who practiced evil deeds, who did not bow the knee to King Jesus. You're going to say, that was right. And I am rejoicing in God, my Savior. We're going to have fixed brains. I think it was Al Mohler who wrote a description of all of the ways that original sin affected our brains. And I think he had like 10, 15 demonstrations of the noetic effect of the fall. Our brains, look, we can do some cool stuff. We're image bearers. We still have some function. I don't know where it's at. I guess, what did people say? You only use 10% of your brain. I think that's been debunked. But I don't know what the percentage of our brain is that is still healthy and capable of creating really groovy things, being able to fly rockets into outer space for nefarious purposes, nevertheless, making cars and comforts. Okay, so it's funny. Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, after church, we had a meeting for those people who were interested in church membership. And we wanted to practice gracious hospitality. So we provided, and when I say we, I mean people who are kind enough to go to wherever they went to get it. I was going to say Cub Foods. Wow. They don't have Cub Foods in Georgia, Todd. That's Minnesota. Cub Foods, they don't have a... Jimmy, they don't have a Cub Foods-like concept here, and I don't understand it. Nor do they have a Kowalski's, Byerly's, or Lund's. And unless you're from the Twin Cities, you have no idea what I'm talking about. The Cub is like a market. So the pallets of food, it's like a Costco. basically, except you don't have to buy an amount that requires a beast of burden to get it to your car. And then on the other end of the spectrum are these fine grocery stores. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is like the Tiffany of grocery shopping. It's amazing. They don't have those here. And it's Publix and it's Kroger. Pretty much the bag here. So wherever this fruit was purchased for the members meeting, and by whom, I don't know, but thank you, we got to bring it home because people didn't eat much of it. And we got to bring the fruit home. So we're sitting at our kitchen table eating fruit. And it was, we just don't appreciate this. We just do not appreciate this. It was all cut up. I didn't have to peel the pineapple, you know, do the thing and the getting the core out and all of that. Just popping it into my mouth like royalty. The grapes were crisp and everything was cold. And I remember thinking, David did not enjoy these types of delicacies. This is amazing. We have so many comforts. We have so many fine things that we frankly take for granted because we're born into this particular system. And these are all courtesy of human invention, obviously powered by God himself. But these are human advancements that have indeed helped with human flourishing. And I am grateful for those. But our brains, they don't even come close. And the list, Jimmy, type in Albert Moeller, noetic, N-O-E-T-I-C, effects, E-F-F-E-C-T-S, of the fall. And see if you can come up with that list. Our brains are dog's breakfast. They're just the sockets are like everything is wired poorly. Now, sanctification goes about rewiring our brains. But one day, when we're glorified, our brains are going to be fully functioning. Our brains are going to be thinking rightly, emotionally, willfully, morally, justly, everything. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right, including your thinking, including your brain. And so should you in heaven even see a loved one at the judgment seat of God be, hear the devastating words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know this is hard for us. It's not going to make us sad. Now, I'm not sure it's going to make us like, woohoo, another one goes to hell, because I don't think that's the way God is. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He's provoked. His sense, that's a horrible word. He is righteousness. He's justice. He must punish evil. He must. It is provoked. It's not something that he takes pleasure in. And I don't know that we will either. I don't think we will. But I don't think we're going to feel sad either. Because finally, our brains will be right. You find it, Jimmy?
I believe so.
All right, do the rundown. Here's, how many is it? Is it like 15?
14.
14, go.
Ignorance, distractedness, forgetfulness, prejudice, faulty perspective, intellectual fatigue, inconsistency, failure to draw right conclusions, intellectual apathy, dogmatism and closed-mindedness, intellectual pride, vain imagination, miscommunication, and partial knowledge.
Okay, you could have gone, you could have done like 33 and a third speed and it would not have been slow enough for us to drink that. No, really. Yeah. So just pick one of those. Inconsistency, I believe that was about number 8, give or take. Inconsistency in thinking. You don't always come up with the same conclusion with the same set of facts. Why? Because your brain's broken. That's just one example. You're not willing to think things through to the level that many subjects require. All of these are effects of the fall. Great news. You won't feel those effects in heaven. 877-282-2337.
All right, Drew was wondering, Todd, do you think it's biblically okay for a pastor to allow a church member to run their personal business in the basement of the church?
Hey, guess what I'm preaching on this Sunday? Jesus is turning over the tables, but you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Because it does appear there was a necessity of foreign currency exchange and the purchasing of animals because of the difficulty. I think it's Deuteronomy something. that talks about, you know, buying the animals in Jerusalem. The problem was they had turned it into a den of thieves. They had manipulated the system to their own financial advantage. They had turned religion into, you give this money, you get your sins forgiven. They were exorbitant rates, probably run by Annas and his sons. Isn't that an interesting twist? That's what historians think. This had become a marketplace of really corrupted capitalism. Jesus turned over the tables. So does that mean that your church can't sell books? Nope. Does that mean that your church might not even be able to have somebody from, because it just makes sense. I think this is 21st century, we struggle with this, that sometimes people just need a place to do commerce and it's efficient and it makes sense and it provides for their ability to provide for their family. That would have, I think, made sense to different generations than our rather lavish society. Just the same, I don't think it has to be a sin. Now, if it's corrupting religion, if it is turning grace into work righteousness, if it is turning God's house into a den of thieves, if there is illicit business going on there, then he'd turn over those tables. But I don't think necessarily that a bookstore or doing commerce out of a church has to be a sin. But you can hear the whole sermon at AlfredoBibleChurch.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at FortisPlus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, Pietism emphasized the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And let me return the gratitude, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. And thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, for what?
You set me up for that plug for Alpharetta Bible Church. .org. You can hear all of the sermons there. We don't record the full service, just the sermons. Don't ask me why. I don't know that there's perfect rules to this, and we don't even have video. It's just audio. But if you can endure that archaic way of consuming sermons, alpharettabiblechurch.org. Thank you, Jimmy.
Oh, you're so welcome.
877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
This is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, when the Bible speaks of the eternal torment of hell, is this torment just the nature of what hell is, or is God the one tormenting them?
Yes and yes. It's got to be powered somehow. Who's in charge of every molecule? God. We tend to think that hell is the devil's abode. No, it's only his abode in that that's where he's spending eternity, courtesy of Jesus Christ, who is going to cast him there with all of the demons. Hell is God's hell. I know. You think, no, hell, Satan, heaven, God. No, everything, God. He is pouring out wrath perpetually, consciously, on those who refuse to repent and practice evil deeds. And these people, by the way, that are currently in hell, they still hate God. And everybody who goes there for eternity, when their fate is sealed for forever, they will continue to hate God. They're not going to go, oh man, I really blew it. They're going to be curses. The gnashing of teeth could well be either from pain or just a grinding of anger, being incensed that God would do this to them. That's what's going to be going on in hell. How does it run? Got to be a power plant. Got to be somebody who's making sure that the gates stay locked. Got to be somebody who makes sure that that conscious torment is inflicted. Who is that? God himself. Don't trifle with him. Don't mess with God. Don't play with him. I think it was last Sunday's sermon. It maybe surprised our guests and visitors. Maybe even surprised some people who are members. But we were talking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, how humble it was the first time. I've always struggled to kind of harmonize. How is it that the people could be so supposedly joyful? You perceive, oh, they're really happy. Jesus is in town. And then days later, they yell, crucify him. So what's going on here? Because we tend to celebrate Palm Sunday with finery. We get dressed up. We buy the palm branches from probably some Christian distributor of church things, so that the kids can wave them, and it's a joyous day. I don't think it was. It was the Passion Week of our Savior as he entered Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This was not like whoop-de-doo. They're saying, Hosanna. What they were yelling is, save us! Save us! Hosanna in the highest! Really, really, save us, Son of David! So they were indeed acknowledging that they believed that he was a prophet. But were they recognizing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? No. So their praises were deficient. Their praises were also self-centered. Save us was the Hosanna. We tend to think it's hallelujah. Hosanna, Psalm 118, I believe, two words. It means to save. And I think like now, like do it. Make this better. What did they want saving from? The people who were oppressing them, known as the Romans. That is why they were happy to see this Messiah. They wanted him to throw off the yoke of Rome, but they didn't want somebody to die for their sins. So I don't think that it was a celebratory time like some people tend to think it is. That was basically the sermon. And it concluded with Revelation 19, when Jesus returns. When Jesus Christ returns, it ain't going to look the same at all. His entry into Jerusalem was relatively humble. Consider the inauguration we saw just this week. Even though it was brought indoors, presumably because it was too cold, presumably. Did you see the pomp? The circumstance? Did you hear the bands? Oh, by the way, Jimmy, did you see I won't say her name, an email from that young lady who said that she was going to be singing in the cadet choir at the inauguration? We saw her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She was a glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, the Elvis song, basically, they were singing. It was outstanding. It was so cool. There were choirs. There were bands. There was pageantry. Nothing like that for Jesus. Very modest, very humble. Then we concluded with Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that nobody knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't dawdle. Don't delay. Don't put off humbling yourself before the humble one, Jesus Christ, because next time you are going to be silent. You don't know what terror is. You don't know what fear is until you meet King Jesus. Repent, put your trust in him today, accept his terms of peace now, because he's the one who's running hell. Jimmy, you got a book recommendation?
Oh, yeah, from Erwin Lutzer.
Erwin Lutzer.
Yeah, his book, God's Devil, does a really good job of explaining that God's in control of hell.
I'm sure there's a quote in there from Martin Luther.
I'm sure.
The devil is God's devil. Mm-hmm. He's on a leash, but he's still God's devil because God's running everything. I was texting with Erwin the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping he's going to be endorsing Greg Gifford's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that book when it drops. If you have been diagnosed with some sort of mental health moniker, or your kids, or people in your church, so this really applies to all of us. Think about getting this book. It's a whopper, I grant you. It's a big book, and it's not like a $4.90. It's not like a 99 center you might get at the Warnabit shop. Do they still have those? We used to when Jimmy was a kid. So might want to be preparing for that. But it is a book that is, I'm telling you, it's gonna rattle an awful lot of diplomas. It's gonna make some noise. It's called Lies My Therapist Told Me, potentially endorsed by Erwin Lutzer, who wrote God's Devil. 877-282-2337.
All right, Todd, this is from Anonymous. Todd, it was a classic case. Raised in a Christian home, baptized when I was 12, and then was born again at 16 when I realized that I actually wasn't a Christian and that Christ wouldn't tolerate my sin. Now at 20, I'm feeling convicted to receive a properly administered baptism, but it's causing strife with my parents who insist that I was saved way before I was. How should I respond?
I think you need to get counsel with your elders. That's what you need to do because they can dive into the details of this. I would be a very bad talk show host if I parachuted in from 1,000 feet to tell you this is what you should do, potentially contradicting your parents. Honor your parents, never fight with them, listen to what they have to say, take it in, but that doesn't mean necessarily in this instance that they're right. But you honor them through this. Do not dismiss it. Rather than seeing your parents potentially as like, hey, I've got this sorted. They're the best counselors that you have. Listen to them. But if you still find yourself going, but mom and dad, this is why I don't think that I was saved. You could meet with your elders, not like somebody's being brought up on discipline, but to simply work through it. I cannot tell you why it is so important for you to have a relationship with your elders. It is for your own good. These guys, they're there for this very, this is what they do. Now, it doesn't even need to be the elders. It can be other godly people in the church. That, by the way, is a recommendation. If you're struggling with something, whether it's a family issue, a decision issue, a morality issue, sin issue, whatever it is, before you go to the pastor, before you go to the elders, ask, are there some mature Christians who have specifically dealt with my issue who could walk alongside me? Start there. Start there. Going to your elders, they're there for this very thing, but that should be more like, the triage that we did out there didn't work. So this is like, whew, this is really reaching boiling point here. And if it gets to that point, then pursue your elders and walk through it respectfully with them. Glad you're noodling this, young man. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, freedom rings for pro-life activists who've been unjustly imprisoned under the Biden administration's weaponization of the FACE Act. President Trump is set to pardon over 20 peaceful protesters in the coming days, including an 89-year-old concentration camp survivor. When grandmothers are facing longer sentences for praying outside of abortion clinics than many violent offenders, maybe it's time to re-examine our justice system's priorities. Maybe. The new administration's sweeping changes continue as federal DEI programs face immediate shutdown. At the Department of Interior, bureaucrats once recited diversity poems and banned words like mother and father, and employees are being instructed to report any attempts to disguise these programs under new names. And speaking of resistance to common sense, a Christian National Guardsman in Idaho is fighting back after being removed from command solely for expressing his biblical views on marriage and sexuality outside of duty. When military leadership starts implementing unofficial no Christians in command policies, we're straying way too far from the religious liberty our founders enshrined in the Constitution. And in Massachusetts, we're seeing a preview of coming sanctuary state battles as public schools instruct bus drivers to harbor illegal immigrants from ICE agents. I mean, school districts choosing to obstruct federal law enforcement rather than cooperate with immigration officials. What is that teaching children about respect for law and order? Not very much. Meanwhile, Representative Chip Roy of Texas has introduced legislation to defund the UN Population Fund over its partnership with China's coercive abortion programs. And the culture wars have reached even American Idol, sadly, where executives are reportedly in, quote, crisis talks over Carrie Underwood's debut as a judge following her inauguration performance. I mean, singing America the Beautiful at the presidential inauguration has become so controversial that Hollywood officials are now saying, well, maybe that doesn't represent diversity and inclusion because she believes a different way than you. So now you're talking about excluding her? Doesn't really add up. And from the Elections Have Consequences file, Biden administration DEI officials are being placed on immediate leave as President Trump's orders take effect. Some aren't going quietly, however. The ATF tried simply changing a diversity officer's title to senior executive. And bureaucrats playing word games to preserve ideological agendas only confirms the need for reform. And that is today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Job answers the question, why do the righteous suffer? When Job loses everything, his friends blame him. But when Job questions the Lord, he responds, God is sovereign and he is good. His ways are beyond our understanding. When you suffer, know that God is in control. He has his own purposes that you may not understand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yes.
Got an idea. How would you like to hear some more of that female bishop preaching in the National Cathedral at the inauguration aimed at Donald Trump? Would you like some more of that?
Do we have to?
Nope. This is Wretched Radio. Just, you know what? Nails on a... No, I'd rather listen to bagpipes.
Oh,
that's how. 877-282-2337.
So this kind of feeds right into that, Bishop. This is from Josh. Todd, is there a difference between false teachers and false prophets? And if so, what is the difference?
No, they're both false, so they share that. I guess it would be, if you're going to make a distinction, the office. A teacher is anybody. So it can be a Sunday school teacher. It could be just a, you know, just a bread and butter Christian who teaches false thing. I think a false prophet would be somebody who has that office or thinks that they have that office because that office does not exist anymore. So I think if there's going to be any distinction at all that I can think of, it would be the difference between teacher and prophet. One is just a teacher. The other one is an office, but they're both false, which means they're both problematic. Eight, was that anything else you can think of, Jimmy?
Just a question that that came up between a couple of friends this week over this very same thing. So if you witness a teacher, a pastor, who is teaching falsely, you know that they're teaching doctrine outside of orthodoxy.
Yeah.
But they themselves truly believe what they're teaching is correct.
Right.
How do you approach that?
Very, 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 very respectfully. Are we talking about Charlie here? Has he become a heretic?
No.
Hi, Charlie. I think very, very respectfully. I say that because I think that's the admonition. Approaching an elder with an accusation of false teaching, you better bring two or three with you and do it as if you're talking to your father. So that's the starting place. And I think we also... Whenever we're dealing with somebody, elder or not, who professes to be a believer, what is our guiding principle? I think it's 1 Corinthians 13. We believe all things. I want this to be a misunderstanding. And it does. Let's just say that Bob has a false understanding about the Trinity, for instance. He thinks that the Trinity is two persons, the Father and the Son. And now you're concerned because he has not mentioned the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You respectfully approach Bob and say, heretic! No, you don't say that. Hey, Bob, tell me about your understanding of the Trinity. Where'd you get that from? Can I just pull you aside a la Priscilla and Aquila for a moment and explain something to you a little bit more in detail? And if Bob goes, wait, what? I've been misunderstanding. I immediately amend my understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity. Three persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Was Bob a false teacher? And the answer is he was confused. He wasn't apostate. He was just confused. He didn't know better. So you want to approach these things believing that maybe there's just something missing here, something that I don't understand, something that needs to be corrected. What if Bob, pastor or otherwise, digs in his heels? Well, that's why you need two or three witnesses. That is why we also lean on historic creeds, not on the magisterium of the Catholic Church, but on creeds. Because most likely, whatever the false understanding that this Bob has, probably covered in the five major heresies that have already been dealt with. And you can go research those and you could bring those to him and say, hey, Bob, regarding your unhitching of the Old Testament, it looks like somebody already tried this. Let's take a look at it. Now, what do you think, Bob? And you do it hoping that there was misunderstanding, a lack of education, because you don't want him to be apostate. Bob digs in his heels. Nope, I believe you should unhitch the Old Testament and there's only two persons in the Trinity. Bob, we got a problem here. And you would then have to, with the body, practice discipline on the pastor. Oof, that can get messy and a little bit tricky, but he's still a sheep. Yep, he's an under shepherd, but he's still a sheep. And as we know, pastors can go astray. And it's the church body's job to rescue any sheep that strays, including the pastor. always hoping that there's a misunderstanding or that there will be repentance, because we hope all things, trust all things, endure all things, believe all things. We put the best construction on everything, including Bob and his horrible Trinitarian theology. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I would say too, and this isn't true across the board, but I think as you approach a pastor like that, you pick up on a lot based on their teachability. If they have a spirit of saying, you know, I think when you approach a pastor who is genuine, they will understand and receive what you're saying, whether they disagree with you or not.
Look, and if initially he's maybe a little bit curmudgeonly about it, okay, he's having an off day. But you're right, a genuine believer, unless he's going through some strange season, and I don't mean strange like it can never happen, it's just like some funky season, should receive correction. That's the proverbial wisdom that we are supposed to be trying to attain. Okay, Jimmy, tell me more. Have you heard anything else? Did you ever hear me say anything wrong about this subject? Please correct me. I'd love to know, brother. Now, what if Bob does all of that? He's got a good attitude. But Jimmy, I'm sorry. I just see that there's two persons in the Trinity. Well, then you've got yourself an issue of an individual who is outside of Orthodox historical Christianity. And you should lovingly try to gain him back. Now, if you're going to that church, I would still encourage you to hang in there, to stay there for a bit. Now, if he wins and he brings a bunch of duinity, that's two persons in the Trinity, a duinity, well, then you got to find yourself another church. But I would encourage you to stay there because you love that brother. We're hoping he's a brother, and you want to rescue that pastor. Send your thoughts to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
Here's an interesting question from Joe. Todd, how do you grow in a desire for heaven and a love for Jesus without growing in resentment toward everyday life on earth?
No, that's... I don't want to make a blanket statement because increasingly there are some things that we should be hating more and more. Not the good things, the evil things, the fallen things, the broken things. We should be experiencing more and more disdain for those things as the things of this world grow strangely dim. But that doesn't mean that you have to hate this styrofoam cup of tea that I'm drinking that probably is giving me cancer of some sort. You don't have to hate everything to long for something more. Remember, all of the good things, they are to reflect the best thing. All of the gifts are intended to shine the spotlight on the giver. So I don't think that you should ever be hating a cup of tea unless, of course, you really hate tea. The point is, you drink tea and you go, all right, I don't need this tea to be happy, but wow, how kind of my amazing tea-providing God to give me this beverage that coats my throat because I think I'm getting a little bit of the schmutz. I'm not sure which one. Jimmy, apparently we're under a quaddemic.
A quaddemic?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah, they're scaring us again. A quaddemic. You could get the COVID. You could get the flu. You could get the bronchitis, something. So you should probably go get a jab of some sort is what I'm thinking we're supposed to do here. Let the nice, the non-sinful things of this earth help you to love God more. And simultaneously, do you know what the tea is going to be like in heaven? If you think throat coat is good, if you think that good earth tea, oh man, good earth tea with honey, oh, it's going to be a gazillion times better in heaven. So keep that perspective. Don't hate everything because it's not heavenly. Everything on earth that is good should be a dim reflection of all that is amazing in heaven. And I think you'll be able to find that balance. 877-282-2337.
I can't imagine anyone thinking throat coat is good.
You don't like it?
Oh, it's got a licorice taste.
Exactly.
It works.
And it just, hold on, let me just try it. Right.
It certainly works.
Mm. You know what I was reminded of again today?
What's that?
Okay, when I just did that slurp, do you know who that didn't bother?
Who it didn't bother? It didn't bother me.
Didn't bother me either.
Yeah.
Might have bothered some of the tens and tens of people I'm listening. Sure. Just like my rapper. They call it misophonia. And I don't know if like my condition is worsening. But protein bar rappers, oh, Get that bar out of that wrapper now if you're going to eat it. It just drives me bonkers. This morning, I've got one of those Mambo protein bars, like 30 grams of protein. I'm sure it's not good for you, but there it's got protein, and that seems to be all that matters these days. And I realized I'm at my dad, and I'm crinkling away. And I'm sure that everybody in the office surrounding me could hear it, but I was okay with that because it's my crinkling. Isn't that the way that it is? Other people do something that you do. It bothers you when they do it, but you give yourself a pass when you do. Why? We are lovers of selves, aren't we? I just love me some me.
Does it bother you when I cut my fingernails?
Oh, mine are fine. Mine, no problem. Yours go clicky-clack. Mine don't. It's the strangest phenomenon. Oops. I did it again without Britney Spears. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over three decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to a Wretched Morality Play. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, as soon as the microphone went off the last segment, when I quoted Britney Spears, oops, I did it again, without Britney Spears, I asked you what question?
What was that song about?
Yeah, because I thought, okay, if that was about, you know, what hooking up, and then that would be a, that I said it would have been very bad, ignorant, but very bad. So what did we do to determine whether or not that song, that what I said was appropriate or not? Because I'm more than willing to apologize for it. And by the way, I read the lyrics, and if I did make a mistake, I apologize for that because yikes. But Jimmy, where did you find out if Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears was about hanky panky or something else?
I found out at AI.
You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I went to the Google machine.
Okay.
And I typed in Oops. I put in too many O's, but nevertheless, Oops, I Did It Again, to find the lyrics, read them, and decide for myself what those lyrics were intending to convey. And that is what your pastor is dealing with. You say, what are you talking about? What does Britney Spears have to do with my pastor? It has to do with AI. Jimmy went to AI to ask it, give me the conclusion of the matter. I went to AI to actually do the research and think it through. Jimmy's method was faster. Mine took more time. Who, I would ask you, learned more about Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again, me or Jimmy?
You did.
I think I did because I actually studied it. Right now, as we speak, there is a proliferation of AI sermon tools to help you write your sermon. And they are offering it, of course, at a cost to help you break through. This was an article from the website, the internet. Chris Ezra Dunn wrote this. This was from, it's the Logos app. It's an AI sermon assistant. It'll help you generate illustrations, applications, review questions, and even sermon outlines. The purpose is, quote, to help pastors through creative blocks. The problem, according to this reviewer, is, oh, it does more than help you get through creative blocks. It basically gives you the whole shebang. The primary purpose is to help you break through creative blocks. By doing what? Outlining the sermon, doing exegesis, giving you the language notes. The outline generator produces more than just an outline. It summarizes the passage, gives a pointer to Christ, lists a big idea, provides recommended lines of study as you prepare, and more. Only after all of this does it provide the actual outline, where it also supplies a paragraph under each point suggesting how you might fill the point in. That's not a creative block breaker. That's writing a sermon. There are copy and insert buttons. You can just whoop, put it right into your manuscript. AI will do all of that, of course, for a price. That is the challenge of AI, especially when I don't think Jimmy was wrong to ask AI about Oops, I Did It Again. Because there are times when you just need to find stuff. And if it can actually save you time in just reading through bad articles, articles that never get to the point, having to do a bunch of superfluous research, then I'm all for it. I really am. I'm all for it. But there's also a line that it crosses. And I think, Pastor, you should define that line. And I don't know that there's a perfect rule except for the way I do it, because the way I do it is perfect. I think for the same reason that when I clip my nails, it doesn't make any sound. The point is, you gotta have some rules for yourself. And there might be some variance among different pastors preparing sermons, but I think that if it's doing the thinking work for you, you got a problem. If it's, for instance, here's an example. I'm looking at maps, preparing a sermon for this Sunday about Jesus cleansing the temple. And I wanted to get a lay of the land. I wanted to see a visual of the temple. And it was kind of small and it was hard to see and I couldn't really read all of the print on it. So I asked the AI machine, please list all of the gates in the Herodian temple, first century. There it is. Okay, I don't think that's cheating. I don't think that's a type of study that is not, that I'm depriving myself of spiritual growth. Now you say, where's the line? When do you rob yourself of growing in maturity because you're not studying the word? I think it's when you're studying the word. I think it's when you're trying to figure out, what is this passage about? What is the author trying to communicate here? What is the message for the group of people that I will be looking at on Sunday morning. You can't circumvent that. You got to study the text yourself. If you want to use it as a quick search engine, I say rock on. But the second it starts doing more than that, okay, what about sermon illustrations and ideas? First of all, I have a confession to make, and you could certainly argue this all day, and maybe if you have to listen to my preaching, you'd argue vociferously. I'm not a fan of illustrations that much. I don't use them often at all. I don't know why, just don't. I know that there are some people that teach homiletics that would say you need to have an illustration every 7 minutes, otherwise you're going to lose people's attention. Well, I think people watch a 4-hour football game go into 7 overtimes. I think we can handle it. It's just whether or not what you're saying is interesting or not. And so I think that using it to create illustrations, better yet, stop and think. Because if you have to stop and think of an illustration to make a point, chances are you're going to consider your point from more angles. You're going to have to wrestle with, hey, wait, does this illustration actually undermine something else essential in what I'm trying to actually illuminate? So be careful, Pastor. I don't think that AI is the enemy of all pastors. But I got to tell you, I can understand how it could be. Use AI very carefully. You want to say something, don't you?
Well, you know, you said something there.
You know how I knew?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Which means you don't want to ask a question.
No, I want to say something.
I got something I want to tell you.
Well, it's just what you said about stop and think. I think that is a very big problem today. We're teaching our kids, our young people, not to think. Thinking gets in the way. Get the answer quickly. And if you have to stop and think about it, it's you're wasting time. This, and I'll say this, this job here, working here in this ministry is probably the first place I've ever worked where shutting your door and spending time in thought every day is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to think sometimes. And we're not doing that enough.
No, we don't do that when we read our Bibles enough. I'm actually working on a chapter. Boy, James, that Whipcracker, who's my editor for the next book, have divided up 2 chapters. I wanted to present the biblical case that Christ Jesus is Lord over all. I mean, everything. And I wanted to show that the reason that we come to that conclusion is because that is the emphasis of the Bible. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Wanted to show that. And James went, hey, rather than just practicing an apologetic why the Bible is reliable and that it does indeed point to Jesus being Lord over all, how's about how to read that thing right? And I didn't want to regurgitate Herman Hu, available at FortisInstitute.org, but I wanted to give some helpful hints, and all of them require time. They just require slow your reading down. If your heart isn't warmed by the time you're done reading your Bible, I will not say to you that it was a waste of time, but it was absolutely not maximizing your time. You need to be storing knowledge. I think I mentioned this yesterday, working on a current Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, one of the things that I think that he would do is encourage us to store up theology. Learn Greek and Hebrew so you can parse your vocables and you can your verbs and you can know the different cases. That's what's important. It's not ultimately important. It's important because God always gets to our heart, meaning the totality of you, through the brain. It is a cognitive process. You got to know stuff. But just knowing stuff isn't the goal of Christianity. And I think the devil loves, I think when you're just pounding the theology, when you're reading your Bible, or you read your Bible because you know you've got to read your Bible, but you really would prefer listening to a lecture on textual criticism. Listen to the lectures on textual criticism, but knowledge is not the goal. Knowledge is the vehicle. Truth, information. That's what transports what God wants you to know and be from your head. It comes through your eyeballs, through your ears, into your brain, which then goes down to your heart. And if your Bible reading does not produce a warming of the heart, then I would encourage you, reconsider how you're reading it. Slow down. See Christ where he is. Learn to use the word to love your God more. That is the point of Bible reading. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.